Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the U.S. Housing and Urban Development Secretary Sean Donovan is with us now. Previously Mayor Bloomberg's Housing Preservation and Development Commissioner, he was tapped to lead HUD by President Obama. He is coming to New York today to unveil the 10 finalists in a coastal resiliency design competition. It's part of HUD's post-Sandy program called Rebuild by Design. And we will also get his take on Mayor de Blasio's approach to affordable housing. Hello, Secretary Donovan. Welcome back to New York later today and to WNYC.
Brian, it's great to be with you again.
So I'm looking at some pages on your Rebuild by Design site. And this is some pretty high concept stuff, like, quote, a reimagined meadowlands with what the designer calls a regional landscape infrastructure park, a comprehensive redesign of Hoboken, which is especially vulnerable to flash flooding, on the notions of, quote, resist, delay, store, discharge, a flooding information system for New York that the designer calls an ESPN for floods. Who gets to be the Stephen A. Smith of floods? How much of all this do you even understand what they're talking about?
Well, what I think has been great about this competition, Brian, yes, it is high design in the sense that we're taking the best, not just design, but actually science from around the world to inform everybody about what the risks are here in the New York region. But we've also engaged communities, even kids around the region, in a very direct, specific way. Even to think about billboards that we can put up on bus stops that would help the average New Yorker understand the risks that they're living with and what simple things they can do in a very direct way in their lives to try to make their home, their community safer.
So this is not the relief money, so people understand, not the Build It Back program, for example, but hopefully the most innovative redesign for going forward in the sea level rise era. So what can you tell us about the 10 you'll unveil today? Want to mention any?
Well, look, I think what to me is really exciting about the 10, not only is it the level of science that we're bringing to this, because one thing that I've found in this work and my other work around the country in recovering from disasters is communities often don't know what the real risks are, and they're very hungry for information about, okay, what can I do to better protect my home and community? A second thing that I think is really exciting about these teams is that for too long we've really thought about protecting ourselves from floods only through what I would call hard infrastructure. In other words, to build dikes, to build barriers and other things. But the problem with water is if it doesn't go one place, it goes somewhere else. I remember hearing a harrowing story when I first started the work after Sandy from one of the big infrastructure agencies saying, you know what, everybody's talking about these big gates we should build on our tunnels. We had a gate that would have protected the tunnel under the Hudson River, but if we'd closed it, all of Penn Station would have flooded. And that just goes to show you that if we can find innovative ways to use parks, to use other dunes, natural infrastructure, let me give you one example. One of the teams is working with the Harbor School in New York that to use oyster beds as a natural way to better reduce the power of waves in the next storm. And this has been scientifically proven that it can dramatically reduce the power and size of waves. But we've got now students working with these oyster beds, learning how to be aquaculturists, and they think about how we live and to prepare them for jobs in the future that can be part of both a new economy in New York, but a new way to protect our city as well.
So once you pick the 10 finalists and then some of the winners, and I gather there's no set number, it's just however many you think are worth getting HUD funding, what's next? How does the town administer it? There are all these projects and, frankly, a lot of money flowing. How does it get doled out, and how do you monitor the money for wise use?
Well, through this, we've been working very closely with the cities and the states that would be part of this. So we'd be making awards of HUD funding to the communities that would oversee the development of these. But we've also been very clear, one of the things that we're excited about is in every one of these projects, we've been working not just with other government agencies, but also with the private sector to make sure that this isn't just a federal project, but it's one where there's real buy-in from the local community.
So these big ideas about seawalls and artificial islands and a billion oysters and all of this, it's got to translate into, you know, the practical work of raising roads, rebuilding infrastructure, et cetera. I guess that's what you're saying. But I've read that the stimulus money after the financial crisis was well monitored from Washington, and waste was actually very little considering how much money it was. But that's not the case with all this Sandy funding now going out. I have a source in one suburban town that's getting money, and my source doesn't think the town can realistically figure out how to spend it smartly and cohesively. And this person says waste, if not graft, is already starting to appear. So what, if anything, is HUD's role in that?
Well, look, Brian, that's why the whole premise of the Rebuild by Design competition was to bring in expertise. Look, as high is the capacity of a city like New York in terms of understanding how to manage large projects, no community alone, whether New York or a tiny little town on the boardwalk, is prepared alone to really understand the growing risks from climate change. And so what we've done from the beginning here is to bring in the best scientists, the best expertise from around the world to make sure that communities can understand both their risks and also get help in thinking about innovative solutions. Once we do this judging over the next few weeks and pick the projects, we will then shift to a mode where we're going to bring exactly the same kind of expertise. We're going to be judging to see, are the engineers that are part of these teams bringing the right qualifications? Have they worked on projects of this scale before, so that we're not leaving cities and towns alone? And we're going to make sure we're watching so that this money, it's a significant investment, is used effectively. But remember, Brian, one of the things we know from our experience on this, if we're just putting money into rebuilding what was there before, shame on us, because we're going to leave these communities vulnerable to exactly the same kind of events, which we know are more and more frequent. Instead, what we need to do is rebuild in a different way, in a smarter way, in a stronger way. And we know that for when we do that, for every dollar that we spend, we save $4 down the road because we don't have the same kind of damage the next time a storm comes.
So, right. It's common sense. An ounce of prevention.
Exactly. And so, yes, there's risk that this money could be used badly. We're going to do everything we can to protect against it. But what we're trying to do here is actually the reverse. Spend a dollar today to save $4 down the road. And that doesn't even include all the human suffering we're going to try to avoid by better protecting communities.
Sean Donovan, the U.S. Housing and Urban Development Secretary, with us as he's coming to New York today to judge innovative designs for infrastructure in the New York area for the post-Sandy era. Let me switch gears, though, to the Build It Back program, which is more relief for people who were devastated by Sandy. I want to play you a clip of a Brooklyn homeowner, Rocco Brescia, at a city council hearing on Monday in Manhattan, frustrated with the Build It Back program funded by HUD. He applied for funds while building back his flooded house on Coney Island.
I'm devastated. I've been good throughout this whole process. But when to tell me that all the work that I'd done to put on the first floor has to be destroyed, and that I have a grant, you know what? I don't know what to believe.
Do you get what the problem is there?
Obviously, Brian, I don't know the specifics of that situation. Here's what I can tell you more broadly. First of all, the Build It Back money has not moved quickly enough, and I've had conversations with Mayor de Blasio about that. I know that he's been frustrated by it and is making a set of changes. He announced this weekend new leadership, and is making a set of changes to allow that money to move faster. We have seen it move faster in other communities. And so we're trying to help New York City understand ways that they can cut red tape and speed up the process. But I agree it needs to move more quickly. The other thing I would just say is we do have to make sure that as we're building back, we are building back smarter. So there have been times where I've talked to homeowners. They're frustrated, for example, that they have to get environmental reviews or other steps done in advance. But it's critical that they don't rebuild, for example, and make themselves vulnerable to exactly the same kind of storm again. So elevating homes, floodproofing them, they're a set of steps that even if they take a little bit longer, are very, very important to do. And I will tell you, having talked to homeowners who have been hit two or three times by storms in the same location, they understand that taking a little more time to build back the right way can save a lot of heartache and a lot of money down the road.
And let me read you a sharply worded editorial in the Rockaways newspaper, The Wave, from January, written largely for your eyes. I don't know if you've seen it. They write, "It's time for Schumer, Gillibrand, Meeks, de Blasio, and HUD Secretary Sean Donovan to lock themselves in a room until some common sense solutions are established regarding Build It Back. Okay, that's not going to happen, but anything short of that will leave us wondering if Build It Back will ever work." Then they write, "Forget the locked room. How about we tie a tiny electric shock buzzer to the HUD boss, Donovan? Every time Build It Back says they'd like to help but are bound by HUD guidelines, Donovan gets a little jolt, something to make him aware that New Yorkers are being driven crazy." It says, of course, he doesn't have to get buzzed at all. He's got the power to make a difference. Official language in the Sandy Relief Act says the secretary is authorized, quote, to waive or specify alternative requirements, unquote, for all the hoops people have to jump through. And it says, hey, Donovan, start waving. What do you say to the people of the Rockaways after that?
Well, Brian, what I'd say is we've provided dozens of waivers on a range of issues where I have the authority to do it. And I'll tell you, there has been greater speed in a number of other places. And I think, as the mayor's acknowledged, there need to be changes in the Build It Back program. Those are happening. I would also say that if you look carefully at that law, it specifically says that I cannot waive environmental standards, and that goes back to the point that I was making earlier. Yes, we can cut red tape, but we can't cut corners. And we do need to make sure that as folks are building back, they're building back in a way that better protects them next time and better protects our environment. And it's a tough balance. I've seen it in lots of places around the country. When you've been hit by a storm like this, it's never fast enough. And I said from day one, the president said from day one, that we're going to need to take time here. It's going to be longer than people would like, because building back from something of this magnitude, one of the worst storms in the country's history, is never fast enough. But we need to do it right, and we need to make sure that we're not just building back quickly, but building back smarter and stronger.
On another topic before you go, having been housing commissioner under Mayor Bloomberg, can I ask what you think of Mayor de Blasio's approach to affordable housing in New York so far, with his more aggressive push to require more affordable units in new developments? Can it work, or will it scare developers out of building at all?
Look, I think it's great that Mayor de Blasio has made affordable housing such a high priority, and I'm going to do everything I can to work with him to help him achieve his ambitious goals.
HUD Secretary Sean Donovan, thank you very much. Good luck with judging these innovative designs this weekend. I appreciate your time.